Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Michelin Countdown to Green on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the Michelin Countdown to Green for the WeatherTech 240 at the Glen. My name's John Hindhoff. I'm in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Jeremy Shaw with me. Sheer Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit Paddock reporter, as we get ready for the second race in, 5 days, really, for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship teams. They're ready to go for what is a more normal race at the Glen. Jeremy Shaw is standing by. We'll get the grid from him in a moment. But an interesting point from Sheer Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, on the tyres, because we didn't have a quote-unquote normal qualifying session. Sheer, and the tyres?
And the tyres. Well, the race director yesterday for the GTD positions qualifying left it open to the selection of the competitors' dry or wet weather tires. Cars with faster times are gridded ahead of slower cars in their own class, regardless of tire type used. So our top nine cars, top seven for sure, went out on wet weather tires. It is currently not raining, meaning if the IMSA officials deem this to be a dry start, they will be allowed to change to a set of slick Michelin tires from their allotment. The cars behind 8 through 12, well, pretty much, more or less, just bear with me for this moment of time, they went out on dry weather tires, meaning that they would have to start on the set of tires that they qualified on because they align with the compound that IMSA had dictated for the start of the race. So our top seven cars could be on brand new Michelins for the start of this race if, big if, it doesn't rain.
Coming up in this Michelin Countdown to Green, we'll have our Porsche keys to the race. We'll be firing up XM202 for those of you in the States. And, of course, we'll be going live in sound and vision in about 25 minutes' time. Let's get to the grid. Jeremy Shaw has the positions. Let's check out where your favourite is as we run down the grid for the WeatherTech 240.
Yeah, thanks, John. This is round five of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Actually, it's a different round for different classes. For the GTD category, this is not an overall championship race. It's only a round of the IMSA Sprint Cup Championship, so rather confusing. But we've got a total of 30 cars. We have 6 DPIs and 6 LMP3 cars. We have 3 LMP2s and GTLMs and a dozen GTD cars. Let's start at the back then. In the 30th position on the grid, in the GRT Grasso Racing Team Lamborghini Huracan, they had problems yesterday in qualifying. Misha Goikberg will start that car from the 30th position. Alongside him, making its debut this weekend, the Gilbert Courthoff Motorsports Mercedes AMG, car number 32, started by Shane Lewis. Row 14, Rob Farrell, the number 88 Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche, alongside Robbie Foley in the car that won last weekend, number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW. Next on the grid, moving forward, is Aaron Tielitz in car number 14. That's the Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3. That was one of the cars that qualified on the slick tyres, as indeed did Robbie Foley behind him. The 25th position, Michael De Quesada, a great run last weekend in the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes AMG. That's car number 28. Row 12 of the grid, the number 23 championship leading IMSA Sprint Cup Championship for GTD, the heart of racing team Aston Martin Vantage, car number 3, started by Roman De Angelis. Fellow Canadian Jeff Kingsley will start alongside in car number 76, the Compass Racing Acura NSX GT3. One position ahead on the grid, the similar car for Gradient Racing, car number 66, Till Bechtelsheimer. Very good qualifying run for him. The third position on the grid in GTD, Richard Highstand, car number 39. That's a car barn with Peregrine Racing Audi R8 LMS GT3. And onto the front row in GT Daytona. On the outside, Frankie Montecalvo, car number 12, the second of the fastest Sullivan Lexus's is RCF GT3. And on the pole position, a tremendous qualifying run, actually his first pole position for the former series champion. In car number one for Paul Miller Racing, the Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo is Madison Snow. Three GTLM cars in third position on the grid is Cooper McNeil, the WeatherTech Racing Porsche 911 RSR 19. Then the two Corvettes, Nick Tandy will start in car number four. Jordan Taylor claimed the pole position in car number three. He will start 16th overall on the grid. Moving forward now to the prototypes, the LMP3s. Number 84, the Dawson Racing Ligier for Theodore Olsen. That has moved to the back after a change of engine after qualifying. They had some problems towards the end of the qualifying session. The fifth position in the class, car number 91, is Jim Cox for Riley Motorsports. The sister car of championship leader Gar Robinson will start in the 13th position on the grid. All the cars in LMP3, by the way, are Ligier JS P320s. The third position on the grid in LMP3, car number 36, the Andretti Autosport entry for Jarrett Andretti, and the front row effectively 11th and 10th on the grid in LMP3. John Bennett, another good qualifying performance for him in car number 54 for Core Autosport. And on the pole position, an excellent effort for the Guatemalan youngster qualifying the car for the very first time for Performance Tech Motorsports in car number 38 is Matteo Larena. Moving on to LMP2s, again just three cars. John Ferrana will start in third position for Tower Motorsport, and Orica LMP207. Again, all three LMP2 cars are Orica chassis. The front row of the grid, however, second position is Stephen Thomas in car number 11 for Wynn Autosport. And turning the tables from 1 week ago, and boy was he thrilled to manage this, for PR1 Matheson Motorsports, the pole sitter, seventh on the grid overall in car number 52, is Ben Keating. Now onto the DPI cars, the front three rows of the grid. Loic Duval will start car number 5 for Mustang Sampling, JDC Miller Motorsports. That's a Cadillac DPI. Alongside the number 55 Mazda Motorsports, the winner last weekend, the Mazda RT24P for Harry Tinknell, who had some problems in qualifying, ran off the road, picked up an advertising hoarding, didn't make the car go any faster. Fourth position on the grid then, Pipa Durrani, car number 31, the Whelan Engineering Racing Cadillac DPI. The similar car for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing, car number 01, Kevin Magnussen, will start third on the grid. The front row is exactly the same as it was 1 week ago. This time, however, it was Olivier Pla starting and qualifying the Meyer Shank Racing with Kerb Agajani Acura. That's car number 60. And on the pole position again, becomes now the most successful pole qualifier in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, starting in 2014. His 13th pole position, the championship leader in car number 10, that's the Konica Minolta Acura ARX05. The pole sitter is Ricky Taylor.
Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw with the runners and riders. Great to know that we've got a full grid. It's the Michelin Countdown to Green. If you're just joining us, you've heard the grid. Let's hear from our pole sitters, starting off with Madison Snow in GT Daytona.
GTD pole position yesterday went the way of Madison Snow and Paul Miller Racing. Madison, you talked a little bit about in the press conference afterwards how critical it was to keep the tires underneath you until the end of that session, using the heat cycles to your advantage. Going into the race today, given that you were the only car out there who got a pole position on wets, how important do you think it's going to be if the start of the race is on wets too?
I'm not actually sure what that dictates for our starting tire. I'll let the engineer make that strategy call there, but I'm definitely comfortable on the wet tire. I like the wet tire. I think it's the best way to balance out BOP and get a fair comparison against the other cars out there. And so it's, you know, it's fun to race, though. But
in terms of the starting position with the split start, it means that you're going to have the GTLM cars to contend with at the beginning. If it's wet out there, does that make it a little more even between you and them?
The wet definitely plays into effect with the GTLM cars a lot more, because our class has traction control and ABS, which I'm very reliant on after a couple of years of driving with that. And the LM cars have none of that. And so it's definitely a lot easier for a GTD car to, I'll say, adapt to the changing conditions, which means get up to pace on the first lap, that first corner, than it is for the LM cars to throw it in the first corner and just expect that, you know, the car is going to stop and the car is going to turn.
It's tricky out there, especially in the wet weather, running one practice session straight into qualifying and now into a 2-hour and 40-minute race. You guys didn't test at the Glen, but clearly you had a good race car in the dry. Are you doing a rain dance or hoping it stays dry for the race?
Rain dance or staying dry? I think what I don't want is I don't want it to be wet track with dry tires. You know, we watched the qualifying session after mine. Brian went out there on dry tires and our car really doesn't cope with that because we have such a difficult time getting heat in the tires. And so with wet track, no heat in the tires, you know, it's not good for us. So I think if it's dry, you know, I'm happy. If it's wet, I'm happy. I don't mind the changing conditions. I just want it to like stay on rain tires the entire time.
You just want to make up your mind early. Good luck in the race today. Jordan Taylor, pole position. It's a Taylor family fun day in qualifying. Mixed conditions out there. How nerve-wracking was it to try and not only go for the bonus points, but keep it on the straight and narrow?
Yeah, it was definitely stressful. We were all watching, you know, GTD qualifying to see what tire to pick. And we knew who was on slicks, who was on wets. And by the end of it, the slick guys kind of closed the gap. So we thought maybe throughout our session, the slicks would be the way to go. So we committed to it, and it was definitely stressful to begin with. The grip level didn't come as quick as we had hoped, but throughout the session, I was shocked with how much grip we had at the end, and the car was performing great. We just had to tune a little bit of the bias throughout the session, but anytime you're up against a guy like Nick Tandy, you can't really leave anything on the table, so I was stressed when we caught traffic near the end to try to keep my rhythm going, keep heating the tires, but thankfully the last lap, everything worked out, and we were able to get the pole and like you said, get some more points on the table.
And in terms of coming into this weekend, yeah, you got the race win a couple days ago, but conditions very different and the weather forecast for tomorrow or race day looks even more different. So how do you guys keep your cool in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing Corvette Racing has all this experience to kind of rely on and look back on. So for me as a driver, it was kind of just going with the flow and kind of hearing what they had to say from their GTLM experience over the years, and which tire to pick, what tire pressures to run, and talking with Antonio, kind of how this track usually progresses for them and the drying conditions. But yeah, it's going to be a much different story. Obviously, the 6-hour was very hot, and now we've got much cooler conditions and some rain and some dry. So thankfully, so far, the car seems to perform well in all these different conditions, but I think we'll be learning some things throughout the race tomorrow as well.
Well, and the big race looking forward is, of course, coming up in France. And you know what they say about Le Mans? It always rains at Le Mans. So yeah. How important is it to get that wet weather running for you guys?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, any laps we can get is important. We haven't had a ton of, you know, rain experience on the car so far, especially not like this, kind of in the middle conditions. So any laps are good laps. You can fine tune, you know, all sorts of things with traction control, drivability on the throttle. So we've been learning a lot. Thankfully the guys do a very good job at it and the car is, you know, pretty well sorted already, but they keep making gains, you know, every weekend.
Thanks, Jordan. Good luck in the race. Possibly the most exciting pole position of yesterday's qualifying session was everybody in LMP3 cheering on Performance Tech. Brent O'Neill, the team principal there. It's a big pole position for you guys. Talk a little bit about what it means after the trials and tribulations you've been through.
That was huge for the team. I mean, what we've gone through over the last, really the last 2.5-3 weeks, trying to get motors over here from France and just the battle that we had. And then, unfortunately, during the race, you know, and it's just the way the two cars hit. It split a radiator and we killed that motor too and had to go rent a truck and drive to JFK, get another motor. And then I have to tell you, the guys all put their head down, and my hat's off to Mateo. He knew that we all wanted to have the pole. He knew he had the car to get the pole. And I have to tell you, the kid just killed it. I mean, he just was on fire and just did a super job. And, you know, my hat's off to all the guys. You know, Mike, who runs that car, he's been with me for, 4 or 5 years now, and just did a phenomenal job getting the car ready to go.
Well, you've got a bit of a reputation for finding these young up-and-coming stars. I mean, James French came from your stable, Pato Award. Where did you find Rasmus and Mateo, and how have they been doing for you?
Well, we'll start with Rasmus first. Last year, we had the Motel 6 sponsorship, and it was through another young kid that was actually pretty good in the race car, but he had a meltdown, I think, and we were able to rescue the Motel 6 sponsorship, and our engineer knew Rasmus, and Rasmus was trying to do Indy Lights, and as we all know, last year with Indy Lights, it just exploded, and he didn't have a place to go, and we were going to Sebring, and I said, let's give Rasmus a shot, and you know, he came to Sebring, he fits into with the team, and he's just done a great job. And he actually sees now that there's probably more of a career for him in the sports car side of it than the open wheel side. You know, it's just so hard in the open wheel stuff right now. And if you don't have $2 or $3 million worth of funding from your family or from somebody, it probably isn't going to happen. So he's stuck in with us. I mean, he actually lived with us for about 4 months just because he couldn't get back to Sweden, and he was afraid if he went back to Sweden, he wouldn't make it back to the next race. So my wife, Gwen, was kind enough to say, hey, just come and live with us for a few months, and he has. Now he's got an apartment in Boca, and he's living there full time, and he comes to the shop every day. So he's an up and coming star. Mateo, his dad called me before the 24 hours of Daytona. He had done some testing with some other guys that I knew. They wanted to run with us at Daytona. He did a great job at Daytona. Unfortunately, we got taken out at Daytona, but we had a fast car there, and you know, we've just built a relationship up with his father, and his dad's able to put some sponsorships together with airlines and with celebrity crews, and he's got some golf sponsorships. So he called me up and said, hey, let's try to do the 6 hour. And he wasn't planning on doing this race with us, but I talked Dan into not doing the 240. And just concentrating on the IPC race, and we put Mateo in for this race, and it was a good move on our part because the kid just did a great job yesterday.
It's working well so far. Good luck today in the race. Well, Ben Keating, another pole position in the LMP2 category last week in qualifying. It was taken away from you in the dying moments of the session, but this time it was you coming out victorious. So how sweet of a pole position is it?
Absolutely. So, you know, you have to put it in context with last weekend. And last weekend, I was so happy with my qualifying effort. I had the pole by over a second, and I had the pole by 6/10 of a second. And in the very last lap, Stephen Thomas beat me by 18/1000 of a second over a 3.4-mile course. And that just boggles my mind, but it really affected me. So I've had 5 days to sit and think about that before qualifying yesterday. We made some major setup changes on the car in the four days that we were off. And then we come here for our 1 hour of practice, and it rains the whole time, so we don't get the chance to test any of our changes in setup. And you know, it was raining up until qualifying. And so, you know, I went down to qualifying early. I was studying every single GTD car that went out to figure out if they're going out on slicks and rains or rains in terms of tire selection. And they were about split really nervous. And so anyway, when it became our time to qualify, I went out on slicks, as I think everybody did in our class. I was pretty quick, pretty early, and pretty bold and confident really early. I think on my third or fourth lap, I had already, set a fast time. And I went into the bus stop quicker than my car or the track was ready for. And I went straight across the curb, through the grass, rolled over a drainage grate. And I thought for sure the splitter on the front of that LMP2 car was going to grab a big, it was going to be a giant shovel that was going to pick up grass and mud. Miraculously, I made it across unscathed, spun out, the car died. I know now that they didn't catch that on television, but that really happened. I went out and gathered it back up. I think I put together like a 1 minute 37.7 second lap, then a 36.8 second lap, and then I did a 35.6. Going back to last weekend, comparing GTD to GTD, it looked like all the qualifying sessions were about, a second slower on a damp track than they were last week. And so that was kind of my barometer for what I was thinking. Last week, Stephen and I qualified with a 35.3 second lap. So I thought 35.6 was going to be pretty safe. And, in my, I think, second to last lap in qualifying, I went through into the bus stop again. I just didn't feel right. And so this time I went through the tire chicane and kind of gathered it back up. Stephen was right behind me. And so I just let him pass, let him get in front of me so that I could kind of gauge where he was. I was close enough on the second to last lap where I thought, okay, I think I did a 36 point something lap. And he seemed like he was about the same distance from me. And so I thought, okay, my 35.6 is safe. I don't get a very good entrance through the exit through the last corner. So my top speed on the straightaway was not very good. I go up through the S's and, as I'm going up through the S's, Bobby comes on the radio and says, "Hey, Ben, now, first of all, this is your last lap. Second of all, Stephen Thomas just got you, and you're P2 right now. You're second place in qualifying. And so this is your last lap. I'm already almost through the first sector. I look down and I'm I'm like 0.08. So 0.08 of a second behind my fast time. Stephen did a time that exactly matched last week's qualifying of a 35.30. I gathered it up and, the short version is that, in the last two sectors of the track, I gained 0.7 of a second over any lap I've ever done. And it was quite thrilling. I came through start finish at a 34.9, got the pole in dramatic fashion, it was very exciting. And then the added drama that, again, most people don't know about is, they have the pole sitters pull at the front of pit lane for media stuff. Ricky Taylor was already there in his number 10 Acura DPI, and all the photographers were standing there. They asked me to pull around in front of him at an angle, and I thought I was clearing everyone well, and it turns out as I pulled in to go around Ricky, I ran over a photographer. It turned out to be Brian Cleary.
I got
a car. I said to myself, and the IMSA guy was there. I said, well, if I'm going to run over anybody, I'm so glad it was Brian Cleary, because I love that guy and we're good friends. And then when Brian came up, the guy was still standing there. Brian said, well, Ben, if anybody's going to run me over, I'm happy it was you. It was really fun. But it was a dramatic qualifying. I'm really happy to be starting on the pole. I'm expecting that the track will be similar conditions today. I expect that it will be damp. With six DPI starting in front of us, I think that visibility is going to be at a premium with all that spray coming off the cars. And so I'm hoping that they have enough top speed that maybe I can see where I'm turning in for the bus stop by the time we get there. Just maybe. But if I can get to the bus stop before Stephen Thomas does, who's starting right next to me, I will have feel like I've accomplished the goal.
Well, Ben, thank you so much. Good luck in the race today, and hopefully it is another win for you guys in the 52 machine.
Ben Keating, the fourth of five pole sitters. We'll hear from our overall pole sitter for the IMSA WeatherTech 240 in just a few moments' time, when we join our sports car racing community together, as we will do in about a minute's time, as TV and radio comes together. Michelin Countdown to Green from the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. We go live in sound and vision. We'll have Porsche keys to the race and, of course, our overall pole sitter. Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter, joins Jeremy Shaw and me, John Hindorf, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. It's a delight to be back for the second time in 4 days, well, 5 days, actually, at the Glen, as we're ready to go live for IMSA at the Glen and the WeatherTech 240.